The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God, saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in their boat, mending their nets. Immediately, he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Good morning, children. I want you to come close to your devices and go ahead and unmute or ask your parents to unmute, because I got a couple of questions I want to get your input on if you're able to do that. First question, have you ever chosen not to follow the directions of your teacher or your parents? No? You are awesome. How about anybody else? Have you ever chosen not to follow directions from your parents or your teachers? No? You guys are good, because I did it all the time. Why didn't you want to follow directions? But, well, I guess I'll ask that to myself. Well, sometimes I just didn't want to do what they wanted to say or what they said, what they told me to do, because I thought I might have a better way. Or I might be scared to do what they asked me to do. You know, sometimes it's scary to maybe have an assignment or to speak in front of other people, stuff like that. So when we choose not to follow directions from our teachers or our parents, what might happen? What might happen if we choose not to? Even though you guys are really, really good and never do that. What might happen if you did decide sometime not to follow their directions? I can't hear you.
Harper said you might get in trouble.
Exactly. You might get in trouble, right? So today's first reading we had is from the book of Jonah. Do you guys remember that story about Jonah? Yeah. So he was told by God to go ahead and go to this place called Nineveh and tell everybody about God's love. Well, Jonah didn't want to go, right? So he actually goes in the opposite direction, gets on a ship, and sails away. And then the storm comes, right? And the crew is like, "What is going on with this storm? It's incredible." And Jonah says, "It's my fault, because God told me to go the other way and tell Nineveh about God's love. So just throw me overboard and the storm will stop." And that's what they do, right? So when they do that, what happens? Because Jonah needs a way to get back to Nineveh. Well, God sends a big old fish to swallow Jonah up, right? So when Jonah gets swallowed by the fish, he's in the dark and he doesn't know what to do and he's kind of scared. But all of a sudden after, well, it wasn't all of a sudden, because it was 3 days and three nights that he was in the belly of a fish. And after those 3 days and three nights, he gets, you're right, spit out, boom, right onto the shore of Nineveh. And then he goes and he tells the people of Nineveh what's going to happen if they don't change their ways, if they don't do what's good and listen to God. So no matter what happens, when we don't want to follow directions, we always need to stay safe all the time. God's always watching us, and we got to always make sure that we are safe. But it's always important to listen to God and do exactly what God asks us to do, because if we don't, there's going to be consequences. Now, I doubt we'll end up in the belly of a fish. We might just end up wearing a hat during worship of a fish on our head. But we still need to listen to God and then tell other people and invite them to listen to God as well. Because nobody wants to end up in the belly of a fish. Not that it's going to happen very often. But God's love is what we need to listen to. God's love is what we need to proclaim, what we need to tell other people. God's love is the inviting portion of what it means to be a loving community to one another and to share God's love with other people. So you pray with me, please. Good and gracious God, we thank you for the courage to go and invite others into God's love. Help us to do that because you are awesome and we love you and you love us. Help us to share that love with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you, children. You guys are all so good. Man, I know there's plenty of times I didn't listen to my parents, my teachers. All right. Grace, mercy, and peace from our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, to you this wonderful day. 40 days more, and West Lafayette shall be overthrown. Amen. Now please join us in singing verse 1, 2, and 5. Will you come and follow me? Okay. You passed the test. I just wanted to get your reaction. You know, from what I could see, you were all a little stunned, maybe a little confused. But none of you grabbed your sackcloth. What's up? Okay, well, that would have been actually more difficult to see, but, you know, why should you, really? This sermon from Jonah is the shortest and probably the worst sermon ever recorded. Yet, this sermon worked incredibly well. Here's how the king of Nineveh reacted when he heard this 8-word sermon from Jonah. In Hebrew is only 3 words. The verses they left out of the lectionary are these, showing us the reaction of the king. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, no human being or animal or herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. Human beings and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God. All shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may relent and change God's mind. God may turn from God's fierce anger so that we do not perish. And God's response to this? God changed God's mind. And about the calamity that God had said God would bring upon them, and God did not do it. And upon hearing this story of Jonah, one might think, God is so simple. It's simply transactional. We hear a short caution offered by Jonah, a mere warning of God's wrath is spoken, and everyone changes. Well, everyone except Jonah. All the Ninevites change from their evil ways all the way up to the king, and he declares the decree that all shall turn from their evil ways and violence. And who knows? The king is just speculating, he says. Who knows? Maybe God will relent. First, it's nice to know that there are kings out there that might do something like that. Error on the side of pleasing God and not themselves. Second, I wonder how long I would have a call here at OSLC if I simply came out on Sunday mornings and said, in a short time, our Savior Lutheran Church will be overthrown and sat back down. I don't know, maybe you would like a briefer sermon. Sorry, not today. Even though the Spirit worked in this case with Jonah, this is not how Jesus chose to proclaim the good news. And it's not the way God intended the good news to be spread. If you remember, when God first told Jonah to go to Nineveh, he refused and tried to go in the opposite direction. He left on a ship, and then the storm came, and he was thrown overboard by the crew because the crew thought he was cursed, and Jonah ended up in the belly of a fish who regurgitated him on the beach at Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because he knew how bad the people of Nineveh were and how gracious God is. Jonah knew that God was a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and ready to relent from punishment. He knew that if he went there and proclaimed the good news, people would repent and God would forgive them. So Jonah walked into the city and said, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And as far as we know, that's all that he did. He didn't talk to anyone. He didn't ask for directions. He didn't build any relationships. His prejudice wouldn't allow him to do that. He didn't even go into the whole city. I mean, it was a 3-day walk. He only walked for one day. And he preached his 8-word sermon and left. Jonah didn't think the people of Nineveh were worth God's grace. Do you think there are people in the world who think like that today? Do you think that you're one of those people who think like that today? If so, we can repent together. In your memory of this story, do you remember at the end, this out of the ordinary part, the story about the bush? And let me refresh your memory. The Lord God appointed a bush, and it made it come up over Jonah to give shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came, up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. He said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry with the bush?" And he said, "Yes, angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You are concerned about the bush, for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in the night and perished in the night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" God is relational, and God's love is not transactional. Jonah liked the bush because it gave him shade. God reminded Jonah, just as the bush was important to you because Jonah got relief and pleasure from it, Nineveh is important to God because God is relational and wants a relationship with all of God's beloved. If Jonah was concerned about the bush, why wouldn't God be concerned about Nineveh and have the right to save the people in it? Jonah offered a caution to the Ninevites to change and turn towards God. Jesus offers that same caution and then builds relationships. The difference is Jesus leans into relationship as Jonah leans into judgment. God is relational, and God's love is not transactional. In a letter to Dorothy Day, Thomas Merton wrote, "Our job is to love others without stopping to inquire whether they are worthy, whether they are or are not worthy. That is not our business, and in fact, it's nobody's business. What we are asked to do is to love. And this love itself will render both ourselves and our neighbors worthy if anything can. Jesus came with a cautionary offering. Hear that caution offered by Jesus from the Common English Bible of our gospel today. After John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee announcing God's good news, saying, "The time is now. Here comes God's kingdom. Change your hearts and your lives and trust in this good news." This translation brings some urgency to the cautionary announcement. Now is the time. God's kingdom is coming. Trust in that good news. What does that kingdom look like? Changing our hearts and our lives. What does it mean to trust the good news? Changing our hearts and our lives. Jesus says enough is enough, and now it's time to join the action of God's kingdom. Jesus begins to put his team together and calls the disciples, and let's get this one thing straight. Jesus was in Galilee for some time teaching in the synagogues and building relationships. Relationships between the disciples and Jesus, Emmanuel, God on earth with us. That is what gave them the faith to step away from their homes and their families and their employment. It wasn't Jesus just walking by the sea and using the Jedi mind trick, is what I'm trying to say. It was the relationship Jesus had with each one of the disciples which helped them step into God's kingdom, because it is now and near, and follow Jesus. Here's where others and the importance of relationship comes into play. Jesus couldn't be everywhere. So if he didn't have the relationship with the one being called, it was a relationship of a disciple with another potential disciple being called, as we heard last week with Philip and Nathaniel. It's an important part that we play as disciples of God, that we build those relationships with others. Amy Starr Redwine, pastor of First Presbyterian Church in Richmond, Virginia, wrote this: "God is not transactional. God is not obsessed with right and wrong, guilt and punishment, success and reward. God is obsessed with loving us just as we are. Because God is relentlessly relational. Time and again, particularly with those on the margins who have spent their whole lives fighting invisible currents of prejudice, Jesus sets aside judgment and shows us what it looks like to choose compassion. One way for us to repair our relationship with others, and we must do that, especially now, is to repent. Repent to God. Now, there's two ways of looking at repenting. One, a sinful way that we feel horrible and we got to repent and we ask for that forgiveness, and we do that. We do that every Sunday morning at the beginning of our worship. But there's also part of that repentance that we change our hearts and our minds, because we are not God. We are obsessed with right and wrong, guilt and punishment, success and reward. But the better we know how to change our hearts and our lives, and the better we understand the importance of repentance, and that's what's important to heal the society that we live in. As Jesus is our example, our focus is now turned to building relationships instead of threatening and accusing. Now is the time. Here comes God's kingdom. Change your hearts and lives and trust the good news. If we wrong someone, it is important that we acknowledge what we have done so that person that we've wronged can hear it. The healing begins for the whole community as bad behaviors are brought to light. It's time to look at our American culture and change what is wrong. Identify the issues of hurt and injustice and root out unjust policies. Find out what is causing harm and tell the truth. Parts of our country rejoiced this past week, and some did not. Yet I hope and pray that we all heard the words of Amanda Gorman when she said, "For there is always light. If only we are brave enough to see it. If only we are brave enough to be it." Sounds a whole lot like Jesus saying, now is the time. Here comes God's kingdom. Change your hearts and your lives and believe in this good news. Enough is enough, as Jesus said to the first disciples after building relationships with them. Follow me, he said, let's do this together. I will make you fish for people. Let's become more than a welcoming church. Let's now focus on relationship building, changing our hearts and lives, trusting this good news, and becoming an inviting church, inviting of all people, for all creation, for all of God's beloved. Amen.